TD.org. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for today. We do ask to help Bill recover from his sickness and restore him to health. We do ask that that would allow us to understand what thou will from the book of Exodus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so Paul, how many plagues are there mentioned in the book of Exodus? Do you remember?
Ten.
10 plagues. That's right. There are ten plagues mentioned in the book of Exodus. And we are in chapter 10 of Exodus today. Exodus has a total of 40 chapters. And Exodus Exodus means a departure of a sort, leaving, going. It's about the children of Israel leaving the land of Egypt, and it's also about the receiving of the Ten Commandments. It's also about the rejection of what God wanted them to do, and about their wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. So Exodus covers quite a bit of information. So we'll begin. Let's look at Elaine. Why don't you start with verse 1? Exodus 10:1.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, for I have formed the part of his servants, that I might show my signs before him.
And Steve, read verse 2, please.
And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's son that things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that he may know how that I am the Lord.
And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me.
Tammy, want to read verse 4 for me, please?
Else if thou art refused to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locusts into thy coast.
And Mr. Grummer, verse 5, please.
And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field.
And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day they were on the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh.
And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not? Yet Egypt is destroyed. Steve, for verse 1, whose heart did the Lord hearten?
Oh, definitely Pharaoh.
Pharaoh's heart. The heart of Pharaoh and the heart of his servants, they were hardened. Now, what does it mean to have a heart that's hardened, Paul?
Well, it doesn't want to hear anything about Jesus or the sovereignty of God. Doesn't want to yield, or doesn't have any fear of the Lord.
That's right.
Somebody that is full of evil, wickedness, and guile, is that a better word? Guile.
That's good. I mean, all those dimensions are part of it. You know, they want to do their own thing. They're stubborn.
Stubborn was the word.
That's the word you're looking for. They're stubborn. And if we notice what to do here, it says that I may show these my signs before him. Maybe you hit the escape key, and then no, it's there's a sequence of things you have to do.
I know that, but I can't.
That's okay. Thank you for trying to help. And you just, so we get the sequence of things. I might show these signs before him. Now, we talked about the seven plagues previously.
Yeah.
In the chapter. In chapter 7, we have the one plague. The one plague in chapter 7 was the water and the blood. That was the plague there in chapter 7. was the water and the blood. And then we have the second plague. We have in chapter 7, we have one plague. Chapter 8, we have three plagues. We have the frogs came, then the lice, and then the flies. Frogs, lice, and flies. Nothing that we really want to have in abundance in our house or in our kitchen. Steve?
What were the time lapses between these plagues? What would you say?
I think they were close together, Steve.
That's what I think.
You know, they were close together. I don't have a number of days, but they were close together. As far as one, basically one after another.
That's right.
Maybe there may have been a little bit of time, but not much of time between the plagues. They were really, really, really a close time. There wasn't a big gap of time, very small amount of time between the plagues. And then in chapter 9, there were three more plagues. Moraine, a pestilence against cattle, boils, and hail. And then here, the eighth plague, we read about in this chapter, but we're not there yet. Yes?
Did you just say the second one was oil?
No, I said the second plague was frogs.
Okay. No,
frogs.
I mean in the chapter 9.
In chapter 7, there's one plague. Chapter 8 has three plagues. Chapter 9 has three plagues.
Three.
So we have the moraine, the boils,
okay.
And the hail. These were the plagues. And any one, I mean, you would think that they would, after a couple of them, they would stop and they would think about what they're doing. But see, if you notice here in verse 10, the Bible says, the Lord says, that I might show these my signs before him. He wanted Pharaoh to see these specific signs. These specific signs. And, Mom, for verse 2.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, go, Steve.
Back to 1, yeah. You asked me whose heart. He also did the servant's heart.
Yeah, the servant's heart, too.
That's
right. Both Pharaoh and Pharaoh's servants. God hardened all those hearts. All those hearts.
Yeah, I bet the servants, too.
Right, that's right. And so all those people's hearts were hardened. Now, question for you, Mom, here, verse 2. Who was to be told of the things that the Lord wrought in Egypt?
Moses. You said me?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. I'll give you the second Paul.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I can't hear what's going on.
Who? The question
his
is...
His son and his grandsons. Did I get that right?
That's right. The question probably wasn't quite worded that right, but you got the right answer. Tell to the ears of the sons and the son's sons...
That's very interesting.
...of what things I have wrought in Egypt. So, understand the fact that and the purpose of telling them is that they may know how that I am the Lord. That was the purpose. They repeated to the people, your sons and your son's sons, what happened, what was wrought in the land of Egypt. Now, Mrs. Grummer, a question from verse 3.
I do have a question.
What's your question?
Question on 2. I thought it was Moses' sons and his grandsons, but is that wrong?
Well, I think it's the people of, not limited to Moses. I wouldn't necessarily limit to Moses.
I don't know how I got that.
But it would include more than just Moses. Understand what I mean? It would include more than just Moses.
Yeah. I just wondered, I must have read that wrong up there. It's probably Pharaoh's sons. I don't know what his sons are.
I think it's referring to the children of Israel's.
Okay, I was
wrong. I suspect.
Okay. Hi, Anna.
Hello, Anna. How are you?
I mean, we have here, by interpretation, we know it's going to be Moses. And the sons of Moses and the sons of Moses, by interpretation in verse 2. That thou mayest tell in the ears of thy sons. Now, of course, if the Lord is speaking as a whole to all of Israel, then that means it applies to every person in Israel that they could tell their sons and their sons' sons of what God did for them, what God did for them. I mean, if we think of the Passover, for instance, we're familiar with the Passover, and there's a when the Passover happens, when the half Passover occurs, it hasn't happened yet in the account here in Exodus. But if we look forward as we reflect back on what we know about the Passover,
yes.
When people, the Bible says, when your children ask you what's the purpose of this Passover, why are we doing this? Why are we doing things like this? Why we observe this feast, the Passover? And then that's an opportunity for the parents, the fathers, to tell their children about how God delivered them, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. And encapsulating that is all these 10 plagues. But the 10th one is the one that deals with the Passover. That deals with the Passover. Paul, you got a question?
No.
Okay. So, Mrs. Grummer, for question from verse 3 for you. To whom was it said, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me?
To Pharaoh.
Pharaoh. That's right. Pharaoh was asked this question. And this was a question that came from the Lord. And so, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. There always wanted to be a time when God wanted his people to be released from Egypt. And yet, and this is the time when he wanted this to happen. But yet Pharaoh did not want to let it happen. Now, when we look at verse 5, rather verse 4, Jacob, what was going to be brought into the coast of Egypt if Pharaoh had refused or would refuse to let the people go? Now, who's ever seen a locust before? You seen one before? How about you?
They're grasshopper.
You know, yeah, little grasshopper types of things.
The reason why they're called locusts is when they're in a swarm, that's when they're called locusts.
When they're a swarm.
Individually, it's a grasshopper.
Okay. So a locust is a swarm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tammy.
I thought locust was the cicada.
Like, yeah, because you hear these in the summer.
A cicada. What's the difference between a cicada and a locust?
It's probably
a cicada and a grasshopper.
It's probably a variety.
Are they related somehow, cousins? I always group them together.
I'm not sure.
They're probably in the same family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, family.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure what I've seen, but
I gotta look it up on my computer.
Okay, that's good. As we look up on your computer, that'd be good.
List of things, that's pretty long right now.
And so the locusts are going to come. Now, locusts, you don't want them around. I mean,
just
one of them is kind of bothersome, isn't it?
They are grass.
Go ahead, please give me your thought.
I thought they were locusts for years until I was older, and then they're locusts are grasshoppers.
Yes.
Locusts, cicadas. I mean, we think.
Probably.
We're thinking that there is some type of relationship between a cicada and a grasshopper.
I know nothing about
okay.
it.
Okay. But nonetheless, I mean, now is it a, and then Tammy, what were we going to say?
Well, locust, I mean, maybe the word locust is what she's talking about here, but my understanding of locust, because I did an insect collection when I was growing up, and I got my dad gathered locusts for me.
Okay.
And, you know, it lives in a tree as opposed to on the grass.
I will write everything down.
Yes.
And this computer is up and running.
That's good. Look it up.
I'm going to list the stuff, and I'm going to come in here and straighten.
Now, so now, is a locust shed its shell? Is that what you see left in the shell quite often? Sometimes you see, like it's.
I thought they were cicadas, like though.
But,
regardless, there were insects.
I think our definition of locusts is different than the Bible's.
Okay.
Yeah, we've
for years,
grasshoppers.
I thought it was our kind of locusts, but now.
Swarms of grasshoppers.
Okay. Well, yeah, it matters, but it doesn't matter as far as the particulars of was it a grasshopper, was it a locust, was it
it's
a cricket, was it a cicada. It is some type of insect. Some type of insect. The locust. I mean, John, who ate locusts in the wild, honey?
John the Baptist.
Okay, so he ate locusts. I wouldn't want to eat a locust. I mean, I would have to be
protein,
really,
though,
yeah, but I would have to be really hungry, you know.
They are,
you know, they would be. And if I had a box of locusts and a box of donuts, you know, which one am I going to eat?
The locusts.
You know, so. But. But
they are a delicacy.
They are, and then Jacob says they're kosher. But think of this, locusts. Some type of annoying insect all over the place.
Thousands.
You know, just all over the place. I mean, like just like you said, Steve, just one of them is an annoyance. But when you have bunch of them all over the place, that is an annoyance. You had a thought, Anna, did you or not? Okay.
Here, all right. Here, the many species of grasshoppers and locusts belong to the Acrotidia family in the order Orthoptera. Locusts are a type of grasshopper, but differ from other grasshoppers in their ability to migrate and swarm. Circadias belong to the Circadidae family in the order Hemiptera. Previously, circadias were listed in the now eliminated order Homoptera. Circadias are sometimes mistaken for locusts because periodical circadias appear in huge numbers when they first emerge from the ground. You can identify cicadas by the loud sound they make and their unique life cycle.
Anything else?
Locusts and grasshoppers differ in behavior, but circadias look different from locusts and grasshoppers. Apparently, locusts and grasshoppers look similar, but the behavior of locusts and grasshoppers is different. But then, circadias look completely different from either one.
They are spooky looking.
Well, thank you, Anne, for reading those details about that. And what phylum? What phylum were they in? What phylum or what's the domain?
They're different categories.
Different categories. So, are they in the same? Are they the same?
Locusts and grasshoppers are.
Okay, locusts and grasshoppers are. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Anna, for reading that. So, did that clarify things for everybody? Okay. Go ahead, Anna.
So, locusts and grasshoppers belong to the same family, and they aren't even in the same order as cicadias.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
A different order.
So, what we call locusts are not locusts in the Bible. The place of locusts.
Well, they didn't describe the locusts as grasshoppers. They just said locusts.
Wow. I'm confused.
No, they just said locusts in the Bible.
See, the Bible says locusts. The Bible says...
It doesn't matter if there are kids.
The Bible says...
He said locusts. The Lord said
locusts. And so, you know, we could still hear and say, were they grasshoppers or were they...
They were insects, just by that
They've had plagues of locusts. I remember being taught out west.
Okay.
When I was in my lifetime.
And Anna, go ahead.
What is the definition here of... The locusts, the reason they're distinct from grasshoppers is because they migrate and swarm.
Yes,
they migrate and they swarm.
So the locusts out in the west, back in the days of the homesteading, they're probably similar, although this probably in Egypt was much worse.
Now tell me about the locusts you're familiar with, when you were in the locust plagues, when you were on the frontier in Ohio.
No, I just heard about them. They swarm. I've seen pictures. They swarm in big groups. Like this, like
okay.
this, like this.
Right.
You've seen that.
And okay.
Like
okay.
It must be terrible.
Okay. Like that, see, Steve was getting to that about when they're swarming, when they're a group. You know, they're called locusts. They have certain formation, I guess, that they take. How the locusts do.
Well, they eat, they eat all the leaves.
They can
destroy the
field.
Crops.
Yeah, destroy crops. And so, you know, this is what the plague, the plague is coming. The eighth plague that's coming because of Pharaoh's stubbornness. Now, let me see, go ahead, Steve. The question number five, verse five. What were the locusts going to consume? We've already said it, but what are they going to consume?
Let's see. They were going to consume... they were going to eat every tree. They were all the residue, which was escaped. They were going to eat every tree which growth out of the field. The residue, the leaves off the tree.
Yes, because anything that the hail did not destroy, anything that the hail did not destroy, they are going to. Is it their same or not? Number 10?
Anything the hail didn't destroy.
Anything the hail did not destroy. Okay. Thank you, Tammy, for finding that. We got some. You can share this. There's two of them. So we're in chapter 10, Exodus chapter 10, and we're talking about the locust plague. And so these locusts destroyed anything. Remember the hail, the seventh plague? That destroyed a lot. Hail with fire, that destroyed a lot. But whatever wasn't destroyed by that, the locusts came, and they destroyed it. Now, Elaine, in verse 6, what were the locusts going to fill?
They shall fill the houses and the houses of all the servants and the houses of all the Egyptians.
And so that's something, isn't it? Just think if you pick your annoying insect, whether it's locust or something else, you don't want any of them in your house. But when you have when it fills your house, when they're all over the place. I mean, I was thinking how just how one fly, we had the plague of flies back in the fourth plague. When you have one fly that's even at a picnic outside, it's annoying. Mm-hmm. And then when it's in your house, the fly moves in your house for a little bit, that's annoying. But this isn't one or two, it's filling the houses. The houses are being filled. Furthermore, the fields are being filled. And these locusts are destroying what the hail did not destroy. They're destroying what the hail did not destroy. Now, in verse 7, who said, how long shall this man be a snare unto us?
Pharaoh.
Yeah, the servants of Pharaoh, right?
Oh, I guess.
Does verse 7 say the servants of Pharaoh?
I don't know. I said Pharaoh.
Well, it says, verse 7 says, and the servants of Pharaoh,
yes, Pharaoh's servants. Said
unto him. So it's Pharaoh's servants. And notice what he says, how shall this man be a snare unto us?
The word
now,
snare meaning what?
Snare is like a trap.
Yeah. A what?
A trap. When you want to catch a squirrel,
okay.
Or when you want to catch name anything you want to catch. Sometimes it's a trap. It's trying to mean there's traps we use to catch animals. There's snares that are figurative snares that trap us. But you see, he's using this in the figurative sense. He's a snare to us. How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Notice thou not that Egypt is destroyed. Tammy, you want to go ahead and read verse 8, please?
And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go?
Where they shall go.
All right, Anne, you want to read verse 9?
Who are they that shall go?
Thank you, Anna.
And Moses prayed. Who will go with her young and with her old, and with her sons, and with her daughters, and with her flocks, and with her herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord.
I am Mrs. Grummer, verse 10.
And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, if I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you.
Huh. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence.
And faith, verse 12.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt, and eat every herb of the land, even all the hail has left.
And Evan, you want to read verse 13?
And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts.
And Steve, verse 14.
And a locust, and the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in the coast of Egypt. Very, very grievous were they before them. There were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such.
They must have been fierce looking things.
And Elaine, verse 15, please.
For they covered the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. There remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field.
All right, so Tim,
Egypt.
I'm sorry, Elaine. Thank you, Elaine.
Oh,
go ahead, read verse 16, Mom. Go ahead.
Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. He said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you.
All right, so Tammy, let me ask you this question from verse 8. Who was brought into Pharaoh in verse 8?
Moses
and Aaron were brought into Pharaoh. Now, again, we have the locust plague is active, and so Moses and Pharaoh, probably Aaron and Moses, are brought before Pharaoh. And Anna, in verse 9, what did Moses tell Pharaoh that needed to be held?
And he had to hold a feast.
A feast unto the Lord. You want to hold a feast unto the Lord. Now, remind me again, Tammy, question? Or,
did you say that the plague is active?
What I mean by that is, I think at the time that Pharaoh called Aaron and Moses before him, the plague was an active plague, but perhaps, no, it just doesn't become active in verse 12. You're right. It doesn't become active in verse 12. Thank you. So it's not active yet, but Pharaoh calls Moses and Aaron before them, and he tells them, we must hold a feast unto the Lord's seed.
What kind of feast did they hold it before the Passover was ever around? What was the feast to the Lord?
It's not defined, but they wanted to be released so that they could have a feast. I mean, perhaps the feast they were on hold is the feast of Passover, and they don't know it yet. So perhaps it's somewhat prophetic in a certain sense that they're holding the feast, an undefined feast, but really the feast is going to be the feast of Passover when God will deliver them from the out of the land of Egypt. Now, Mrs. Gromer, what dispensation are we as Moses in right now? Would you say?
Excuse me?
What dispensation is he in?
Moses?
Now, let me give you a choice. Is it promise or is it law?
Law.
So the law came in chapter 20, right, Mrs. Gromer? Is that right, Jacob? And so the law came. Jacob, when did the law come? What happened when the law came?
Right, that's right. 34.
And so,
with a lot of law in this book.
Yeah, there is. And so we have here, faith in verse 10, who said, look to it, for evil is before you. Who said that in verse 10? Paul, go ahead.
Moses?
Pharaoh said that.
Pharaoh.
In verse 10, Pharaoh said that. In verse 11, verse 10. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. And so evil, in other words, there's something that's going to happen that's bad that's coming. That's what the evil means. That's what the evil means. Something bad is happening. Now,
who said evil was for?
I believe it was. Let's go back to the context. Let's go back to verse 8 for a moment. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, well, this is Pharaoh that's talking. Go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? Pharaoh is asking the question. And Moses said, we will go with our young ones and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast of the Lord. And he said unto them, I believe this is Pharaoh that's talking now.
Pharaoh.
Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. And in verse 11.
What do we mean by evil's form? That's what I'm trying to get to.
Calamity. I mean, I think perhaps he's talking about the plagues that have already happened in the past. I mean, in the sense that evil is before you. Anna, what's your thought on it?
Well, it's... Okay, so... In verse 11, not so. He says, not so. Go ye now that are men and serve the Lord. But I need to decide. So it's almost as if he's saying, well, if you let your little ones go, then you're going to get... And you'll have trouble...
That's good. Good thought there.
Maybe not.
You know, and Elaine. So in verse 11, who was driven from the Pharaoh's presence?
I put the Israelites.
Moses and Aaron specifically. Moses and Aaron were driven. I think that's and they were driven from the Pharaoh's presence. We have to pick up the context a little bit in the previous verses. But Moses and Aaron, they were driven from the presence of Pharaoh. And, Mom, in verse 12, what did the Lord command Moses to do? In verse 12.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all of the hail. So the locust hadn't come until now?
No, the locust hadn't come.
He stretched his
hand up. He did. That's right.
God sent it in. It must have been terrible.
God told Moses about the locust previously what they're going to happen, but they didn't actually occur until right now. Now, if we notice that what the Lord did, he brought the type of wind the Lord brought in verse 13, he brought an east wind. You have a thought, Tammy, about something? Or?
Well, no, it's just confusing verse 10 and verse 11 as far as who's speaking. But because originally I put Pharaoh, you know, for verse 10, and then somebody said Moses, and then I looked at it and I thought, well, it could have been Moses, and then it's always a little mixed up.
Well, I'm sorry, I put Pharaoh myself.
Well,
but
it's just he sort of switches his mind.
The anesthetist, yeah, he does.
Changes his mind immediately. See, because he said, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go and your little ones. And then he's like, the next verse, not so. So he's essentially saying.
He's rethinking.
Right.
Right there.
Almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Really immediately.
Anna.
Was he maybe mocking them or something? Or, I don't know.
I mean, that's a possibility, I suppose. That's a possibility. Evan, in verse 14, to where did the locusts go? In verse 14.
Miss 13.
I answered verse 14. Verse 13. Verse 13. He brought an east wind.
Yes, Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt. Did he stretch it always on the east side?
See, God did, Getting back to verse 13, okay, I thought I mentioned this. The type of wind that the Lord brought was an east wind. And so Moses, if we look at verse 13, somebody who just read it a moment ago, he stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land. And all that day, all the night, when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. So the east wind was coming. This is God instrumenting this east wind. He brought the east wind. He did it. Yes, go ahead.
Well, it didn't come immediately. It took a while for the east wind to bring it in.
God used it.
Yes,
God used it. Paul.
Didn't Moses, when he stretched out his hand and he said, Lord, to remove the locusts by the west winds out of the Red Sea. I guess I'm explaining myself right here.
It was the east wind, I believe, for the Red Sea.
He said remove them.
Maps there.
As far as, are you talking about the Red Sea, Paul?
Yes, with the locusts when Moses stretched out his hand. I'm trying to think, it was in Exodus 10. Where he said they removed the locusts with the west winds carried off to the Red Sea.
We'll get to that in a minute. But that's a good point, Paul. So we have the wind is bringing the locusts in?
East winds.
We have he brought the east wind to come to bring the wind, to bring the locusts. And where did the locusts go, Evan? Verse 14, where did the locusts go? All over the land of Egypt. That's where the locusts go. Now, Steve, in verse 15, what became of the land when the locusts covered the face of the earth?
It was darkened.
It was darkened. Now, think of that for a moment. Think of how the locusts were so thick.
So many of them, yeah.
So many of them that it was almost like an overcast day. But it was even worse than that. It was just darkened.
Covered the sky.
It was darkened, Tammy.
So that means that they were in the air?
They were in the air and they were in the houses. They were filling the houses and they were in the air. That's what that would mean.
It came in a big swarm. That's a bit horrible.
I think it may have been. May have been.
They ate all the fruit on the trees and everything.
Yeah. Now, I know we've already read verse 16, but go ahead and read it again, verse 16. Or 16. Yeah.
Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you.
Verse 17, please, Tammy. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, therefore, forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only.
And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord.
And Mrs. Grummer?
And the Lord turned a mighty strong wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the land and all the coast of Egypt.
But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go.
Faith?
Oh, what verse are we at?
21.
Oh,
okay. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt.
I go, what's your question?
It'd be nice if we could see Egypt, get the idea of what
Egypt is right up here.
Where's your pointer?
this is the best I can get. Come up right now. This is Egypt right here.
You can't see it.
Okay.
The camera's in the way.
Okay, then there's Egypt is also down here.
The camera's in the way.
A little bit down there. So
okay. It's below the camera.
Okay, so
we can just see this sometime if you get the idea.
Well, we can't change it.
I think we could.
I think in the back.
Verse 22. Evan, read verse 22, please.
Map 2.
All right, 23, Steve, please.
Okay. Oh, okay. They saw not one another, neither rose any from this place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling.
Actually, not three is the best.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be safe. Let your little ones also go with you.
And yes. Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God.
Okay, we went through already. Good. So I'm not seeing Egypt on here, really. Maybe
map
I have close
three
to
in your Bibles.
But map three in your Bibles. I'm sorry that I can't come up with Egypt real quick here.
Okay.
Maybe there's one that's better than this one here, but as far as having the whole thing. Steve, your other thought?
No.
Oh, okay, map three in the Bible, if you want to see.
It's in the Bible, it's in the pew, too.
The pew Bible, map three is in the pew Bible.
Okay.
Now,
there's Egypt.
Tammy, for whom did Pharaoh call in haste?
Moses and Aaron.
He called Moses and Aaron in haste. Now, if we notice here, verse 17, Pharaoh is the one who asked to be forgiven, verse 17. He asked to be forgiven. He says, I prayed in my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord for your God, for they may take away from me this death only. So he says, I pray thee, he says, therefore, now therefore, forgive, I pray thee, my sin. So Pharaoh asked of this. Now, Anna, in verse 18, who entreated the Lord in verse 18? Who entreated the Lord?
Moses.
That's right. Moses entreated the Lord. Now, Paul, this is a question for you. What type of wind did God use to cast the locusts into the Red Sea?
West wind.
The west wind. God used the west wind to cast the locusts into the sea. We're in verse 19. Verse 19. So if you want to see the map on the screen, it's on the screen. Up there on the screen, the map is of people that are watching. Please pay attention to your screen. You'll see the Egypt there on the screen. And perhaps I can look at this closer next week, perhaps, and see.
How do we turn the bottom one off?
Is it? Okay, we can do that. We'll turn. Okay. Or if you're in a pinch, if you can't see it, by turning around, look inside your Bible. I think it's map three, is it?
It's map
three in your Bible. And map three in your Bible. There you go. Now, if you want to look at the screen, please look at the screen. But if you want to look in your Bible, it's map number three in your Bible. Mrs. Grummer, from her question from verse 20, what did the Lord do to Pharaoh's heart? He hardened it. He hardened it. He hardened his heart. This is again a constant pattern, a constant thing that's happening with Pharaoh. He's either hardening his heart himself, or God is the one that is hardening his heart. Jacob, notice here in verse 9, pardon me, verse 21, we see an introduction of the ninth plague. The ninth plague is darkness, and it says darkness that could be felt. You know, how dark was the darkness in verse 21? It was darkness that could be felt. And so, in question number, verse 22, Jacob, how long did the darkness last?
Lasted 3 days.
Okay, 3 days. Now here, we were talking earlier about how long did some of these plagues last. We don't know about all of them, but we know about some of them. In this one, the plague of darkness. Plague number 9, darkness. It lasted for 3 days. And darkness that could be felt. Now, what do you suppose that means, Faith? Darkness that could be felt.
Maybe like a fog or a mist, I don't know.
fog or mist, that's an idea. I mean, really, really dark. And fog or mist sometimes gives you that feeling. Anyone been in any dark places before?
Yeah.
Tell me about dark places, Jacob.
In a basement with no light, it's very dark.
Okay, in a basement. Can you feel the darkness?
Yeah.
Things around you.
It's strange. Yeah, no light at all. You know, it's, yeah.
Now, just think for a moment. I mean, we can make the room dark. We can make the basement dark. But what if we go outside and it's all dark? I mean, pitch black. Pitch black darkness.
That's dark.
You know, it's dark. I mean, at nighttime it gets dark, but no moon, no sun, no lamps, no lanterns, just darkness for 3 days. You can't go to place. I mean, sometimes when you get up in the middle of the night, it's dark, but you get an idea where to go.
After a couple seconds, yeah, you can see.
You know, you've got an idea where you can go, and provided there's nothing on the floor, you know, if you're in your usual path, you can get around. But here, total darkness. Tammy, you had a thought about darkness, did you? No? Oh, you did, girl. What's your thought?
Two thoughts.
Uh-huh.
I've been in a cave, like Crystal Cave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was down deep in the earth.
Yes.
I was there too.
And when they turn the lights off, have the lights on, and then you see all the formations. Then they turn the lights off. You're way down there, and it's completely dark. It's a strange feeling.
You know, when you confess the darkness, in verse 15 it talks about how the locusts cause darkness.
Right.
And then...
Is that what this is?
No, this is not the darkness, but this is a different darkness.
Okay.
It's a different darkness. We have the darkness via the locusts that came... And a byproduct of the presence was darkness. But here, the darkness, the plague of darkness, is darkness that can be felt. Darkness that can be felt. So.
That's pretty dark.
It's pretty dark. It's very dark. For 3 days of darkness.
A couple minutes, but three days.
I have another.
Anna, tell me first, and then you go ahead. What's your comment, Anna?
Well, there was a physical darkness that was there, but there was also like a spiritual.
Yeah, that's true.
Like they were in spiritual darkness.
There was a spiritual darkness as well. That's correct. That's correct. And Elaine, go ahead and read verse 23, please. Like read it again, verse 23, please.
They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings.
And Mom, 24?
Before we came, we were in Sierra Leone. And there was real like hit country. You know?
Okay.
There was no
right.
lights. There was no lights. They have no lights.
Right, mm-hmm.
And no street lights, nothing. And so I went over in the tabernacle. The tent, I guess it was. And I wanted to talk to a couple African men. I couldn't see them. It was so dark, I couldn't see them. But I saw the whites of their eyes. I was talking to them. That was, I think, one of the strongest darknesses I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is dark, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Go to verse 24, please.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you.
And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.
Our cattle also shall go with us, and shall not a hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither.
And Mrs. Grummer, 27. You saw that, Mrs. Grummer. Maybe your phone is on mute or something. Or maybe I'm on mute. I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yes. Mm-hmm.
But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Jacob, 28.
get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die.
In page 29.
And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more.
Now, notice in verse 23, something miraculous that happened, something, a miracle that happened. God's hand was upon this. God's hand was upon the darkness. God's hand was upon the light. God is sovereign. God is in control of all things. And so there was light, the scripture says. There was light in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were dwelling. There was light there. There was light in that area of the country in which they were living. Elaine, what did Pharaoh insist on remaining? In verse 24. What did he want to remain?
The flocks and the herds.
His only your flocks and your herds. He says, so he's kind of going back and forth. Now, Moses' response to this in verse 25, he says, Moses, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings. So, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. So now Moses is requesting of Pharaoh that he give them sacrifices and burnt offerings for the sacrifice. Now, in verse 26, Mama, what did Moses insist upon taking? What did he insist on taking from verse 26?
The cattle.
He wanted to take the cattle. Now, not a hoof, he says, to be left behind. Not a hoof. Now again, in verse 27, we notice something happening. The heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Again, his heart is in this, in these sections here, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, 10. We have the heart of Pharaoh continually being hardened. And in Tammy, what was Moses told about seeing the face of Pharaoh? In verse 28.
They would not see his face anymore.
And he said, he continued on to say, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. But he made the declarative statement, you're not going to see my face anymore. And Anna, in verse 29, how did Moses respond to Pharaoh's words?
Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again, no more.
Okay, so again, this is plague number 9. Plague number 9, darkness. We talked about two plagues in chapter 10. We talked about the locusts. We talked about the darkness. Both of these are horrible, horrible plagues. Think about being in darkness for 3 days. It's just not for the evening time. It's for 3 days. Complete darkness. And knowing that somehow the children of Israel, well, not somehow, because of the mighty act of God, he brought darkness upon Egypt, and he brought light into the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were. Paul?
First of all, what happened, I forget now, but what happened after the 10th plague with Pharaoh? Did he finally relent, as far as letting the people go after the 10th plague?
And we'll get to that later in later classes, but that's what happened, Paul. For he let them go, they were leaving, and then after they were 2 or 3 days gone, he relented, and he wanted to go after them and attack them and bring them back. But he failed. So yes, he let them go, but he, again, halfway changed his mind.
He had a real hard heart.
He did. He did. Now, Mrs. Grummer, what's some, actually, we'll go to, Mom, what's something you learned from this chapter here?
I was picturing Pharaoh covered with locusts, because he was okay. Very desperate. He was very, whoever that is. I didn't write it down.
So that's a degree of locusts all over us, all over them.
He was desperate.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Any more thoughts?
Right now.
Pharaoh covered with locusts. That's been all the people there. There were locusts for all over the place. It was that they were in the atmosphere, covering up the black in the sun. They were in the houses. Furthermore, they were in the fields, destroying everything that the hail did not destroy.
I was also trying to picture when Moses would come and talk. He did, like the locusts went over him. So when he stood there before Pharaoh, he must have been locust-free.
Quite possible.
Locust-free. I thought
they would look at him locust-free, and they were covering these things crawling all over them.
How did Moses get around?
Probably a lot of people went crazy with all that.
It was very disturbing, I'm sure, for everybody. Yeah. Now, Tammy, what are your thoughts?
It's interesting that he asked for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
but he said, I sinned only this once.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to be forgiven only that one time. And, I mean, but what about all the other times?
That's right.
The first death, only this once.
And Tammy, I mean, not Tammy, Anna, some of your thoughts, please.
Oh.
Will you finish, Tammy, or not? No, you should get more. Say more, please.
Verse 17. In verse 29, I think that's interesting about Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pharaoh said, you know, he threatened him in verse 28, you know, that if you see my face again, you will die. And in fact, it actually turned to be probably what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because most likely, as the Pharaoh, like a king, he would have been the firstborn.
Mm-hmm. That's so right.
And the fact that Moses says, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more, it seems to me like he actually did die.
Mm-hmm.
He has the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't have definite corroboration.
No, we don't. We don't, but Anna, some thoughts you have?
Well, I had a couple of thoughts.
Please share them with us.
One of them was already stated.
What's okay? You said it again in a different way. Paraphrase.
Well, verse 29. Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. Because we have things like Moses is sharing like, I mean, you're not going to see my face anymore, and he's being all arrogant
mm-hmm.
and conceited, and Moses is like, well, yeah, I won't see you again.
No, that's right. It's Moses, I mean, Pharaoh didn't know what he was really saying.
No. My other thought. Am I allowed to ask
you? Please, you can.
It was about the darkness which can be felt. This is very, very interesting. I always thought that was interesting. You could actually feel the darkness.
Darkness that can be felt.
Which sometimes you can feel a spiritual darkness. Like you,
mm-hmm.
It's like a strong impression.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And like this was a physical darkness.
That's right. Felt. I'm Mrs. Grummer. Some thoughts you have about chapter 10.
On 29, Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. Do you think Moses already knew that the firstborns were going to be killed? But that be why he knew that he wasn't going to have any more dealings with face to face with Moses?
I'm not sure if Moses knew that or not, but apparently that he knew the proper way to respond. The God gave him the right way of responding here to this. Even though he may not have fully understood what was going to be happening next. Anna, you want to follow up?
Well, I was just basically going to say the same thing, that the Lord is directing his speech.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Any more thoughts, Mrs. Grummer?
Yeah, it's about the people now. I mean, the people that we have in this world now,
mm-hmm.
how their hearts are heightened.
Yes, that's right.
Some of them may be heightened. I mean, they may harden their own hearts, and some of them the Lord may harden their hearts.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, even good people.
Mm-hmm. Jacob, how about you? Any thoughts you have?
Yes, sir. I think it's kind of funny how Moses was saying that they could go, but they couldn't take their children. And then, mm-hmm. then later he said, you can go, but, you know, you can take your children, but no cattle.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a lot of political stuff we're seeing.
Yeah, very fickle, wasn't he?
Yes,
very, very fickle.
In verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sorry. Take a second thought, Jacob.
Yes. Well, and the locusts went up all over the land of Egypt, rested on all the coast of Egypt, became very grievous. For they before them, there was no such locust as they, neither after them shall be such. You know, I couldn't help but think about a lot of the phraseology about that last battle and all, but you know, these are literal locusts, and you have to take this literally, that this was the worst locust plague ever.
Yes.
I couldn't help but think about Joel chapter 1 and how the reference to the, you know, the real locust
yes.
there
mm-hmm.
turns so quickly into the
right.
Lord also, and Revelation chapter 9
mm-hmm.
and how that kind of locust was, you know, that locust that would torment men for 5 months.
Yes.
And then, mm-hmm. you know, which death, but mm-hmm. wouldn't come to them, and now those are, you know, satanic locusts, but
mm-hmm.
Anyway, it just, I couldn't help but think about that, you know, that last part of 14,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that darkness that can be felt, we were in a cave in Missouri, I think it was, Merrimack Caverns, one of Jesse James hideouts, and mm-hmm. they turned the lights on like that, too, and it is, yeah. One time I was at a convenience store, and there was a rain-wrapped tornado that was going right across the street. It went right between the apartments I lived in, and it tore up a billboard and made it into a pretzel and smashed it to the ground. But when I was in that store, there were a few people in there, and the lights went out, you know, and you could hear that tornado. You
mm.
couldn't see anything because
mm-hmm.
it was so dark with the, you know, it was dark and raining.
Yes.
Rain-wrapped tornadoes, and the rain with the darkness, that was darkness that could be felt. We could feel death right there, and we're coming, and there's glass all around windows.
Mm-hmm.
It was, times like that, you know that it's close.
Yes, that's right.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think it's something you have. Thank you, Jacob. Thoughts you have from chapter 10?
Just about the darkness. So I don't remember realizing before that it said nobody rose from his place for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't remember that.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. It's staying still for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
3 minutes. Evan, how about you? Thoughts you have about this chapter?
Same thing.
Okay. How about you, Steve? Some thoughts you have?
Continuation of how stubborn and how hardened Pharaoh was. With all this plagues going on, you would
mm-hmm.
think you would let go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. You would think so, but he kept on trying to resist. Resisting. Like getting back to what Jacob was saying about these plagues of Exodus 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, these plagues. There is a parallel with judgment of the plagues of Revelation, you know, of those plagues. There's some of them that have parallels. Not all of them, but many of them do have parallels. Any more thoughts, Steve? How about you, Elaine? Some thoughts you have about
the same thing with the darkness. I was in a cave one time and shut the lights out.
Mm-hmm.
We were camping in New York and it was dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. It does get dark when you're out in the campground areas. You do have the stars. They do offer some light, the stars and the moon. Paul, how about you? Thoughts you have about this chapter?
Well, I like it because it, like in so many other books of the Bible, it demonstrates that God is sovereign and he's in control.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows, you know, from the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
And he He does, I mean, whatever it would take to get, whatever it takes sometimes to get our attention.
Yes. That's right.
And then he also, he still, in spite of it all, he still loves and cares mm-hmm. for us, even though when we do sin, he chastises us. And it's, but it demonstrates how, that he is sovereign and he's in control.
Mm-hmm. That's right. God is sovereign and God is in control. That's good, Steve. I mean, Paul, very good. Of all things, of these plagues here, the locust and the darkness, God is sovereign. God is in control. Any final thoughts or comments about this chapter, chapter 10?
I remember some other darkness.
Please tell me about the other darkness.
Well, when we were in Liberia, we were in a car, we were driving, mm-hmm. where I was driving, and then something happened to the car, so we stopped, something was wrong,
mm-hmm.
and we get out of the car, and all it is the sky, and, you know, what you can sort of feel is around you,
mm-hmm.
nothing. Then another time, we were in Liberia, we went, I guess we were in Sierra Leone, and we went through a checkpoint. I can't remember. There were guards. It was dark, and the car stopped, and these people come up to the window. They're soldiers with big, great, big, long rifles. And we weren't supposed to say anything. Pastor Joe did all the talking. And that was dark, no street lights, nothing, and then just people suddenly show up, and then with your headlights, you see these people. They're soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the darkness.
Mm. Darkness.
You never know what's going to pop up out of the darkness.
You don't. That's right. You never know. Hey, if there were thoughts or comments, let's close with prayer. Father, thank thee for thy word. I want to thank thee that thou has delivered us from the spiritual darkness and has provided for us salvation by the death of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, who died and is buried and rose again the third day. Allow us to not have hard hearts like Pharaoh, but let's be obedient to what thou would have us do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.